Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study in Daniel chapter 2 verse 45 titled, The Stone Cut Out Without Hands. This is part 2 of 2.
Pope Benedict XVI, his real name is Joseph Aloysius Ratzinger. And he was the head of what used to be called the Inquisition before he became Pope. And they would kill you for preaching what I'm preaching tonight. And there's another example. Pope Francis. His real name is George Mario Bergoglio. And I think it's pronounced Jorge Mario Bergoglio. Was it Brazil or Argentina he's from? He came from Argentina, I think it was, wasn't it? Where he's been for years. Argentina has the highest rate of priest rape of children in the world. And they award the big guy from Argentina with the papal crown. Yeah, he's a Jesuit. You'll learn more about that in due time. Now here's Roman Catholics not worshiping Mary. Because they say they don't worship her. You talk to Catholics, they say, we don't worship Mary. You pray to her. Well, yeah, but that's not really worship. That's the kind of thing you'll get. Yeah. Wow. All bowing down, looking up at that stone idol, which the Bible says there's a devil behind every one of them.
That's right.
And one more example. And if I remember right, this is in Ohio. If I remember right, that came from a sister in Ohio. No, it's up there. If this isn't it, it's near Bell Fountain. There's a big Mary statue that people go and worship. And if you want to see one closer, go to Plain City. Plain City's got one that... It's right there off of the main street. You'll see people over there doing the rosary and everything. Well, then there's St. Michael's has a grove. Yeah. You have to look back a little ways. The girls used to walk down there and look over and see it. Oh, yeah. Right in front of the church is a statue of what they say is supposed to be Michael the Archangel, but it's not. It's got no belly button. In reptilian skin, like lizard skin on it. How many of you didn't know this? Jesus is not made of stone.
Amen.
Jesus made the stones.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus made the stones. John 1:1-2 says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. How many of you know Jesus is the Word?
Amen.
Read verse 3 with me. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. If it was made, who made it?
Jesus.
Amen. The stone is three different things to three people groups. Did you know in the world today, the Bible says there are three people groups. Three people groups is named in 1 Corinthians 10:32. Give none offense neither to the Jews, nor the Gentiles, nor to the Church of God. Those are the three people groups. By birth, if you are a child of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you're a Jew. By birth, if you're not a child of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you're a Gentile. Now, I think everybody in here is born a Gentile. All right? If you're saved, you're now in the Church of God.
Amen.
Those are the three people groups. Now look what it says. The church, the stone is what?
Precious.
Now it's not that creepy,
precious.
My precious. No, this is precious. Say it loud, say it clear. Don't say it creepy. 1 Peter 2:7 says, Unto you therefore which believe, he is what?
Precious.
But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And then to the Jews, the stone is a what?
Stone of stumbling.
Verse 8 says, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. That's to the Jews. And to the Gentiles, that's what you were before you were saved, the stone is a nuclear bomb. Now, that's not in the text, obviously. But look at what it says. It says, Luke 20:18, whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder.
Amen.
And when you read when Jesus returns in Revelation 19, it's nuclear.
That's right.
And I don't think it's man-made nukes. You know, a lot of these prophecy teachers will say, oh, that's going to be a nuclear war. No, it's going to be God. But it's the same effect as a nuclear bomb. The elements melt. And everything's ground to powder. When you see a nuclear bomb go off, everything melts. And then when they go in after everything settles, there's nothing but dust. But it isn't going to be missiles. It's going to be the Word of Jesus. It says He will speak. And it'll happen. We also see this in Daniel's revelation of the dream in Daniel 2, where it said, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Now, something to keep in mind about that is that this isn't what a lot of people teach in the seminaries. They teach that we, the church, are going to fill the whole earth. So that's what explains the ecumenical movement. They all joined together with the Roman Catholics and the Eastern Orthodox and the mainline denominations like the Methodists and the Presbyterians and everybody. They joined together in this ecumenical movement. And I should have posted. I got an invitation today from what's called WIN, W-I-N, and it's Worthington Interfaith Neighbors. And all the churches around here, with a couple of exceptions like us, most of the churches in Worthington are getting together so they can hear a Buddhist present his faith. And they're telling everybody that he's just a member of the faith community, and we're all serving the quote-unquote same God, and that's not true. As a matter of fact, Buddhism is really atheist. They don't really believe in a creator God to begin with. But that's how it goes in the world of liberalism. Liberalism doesn't make sense. They don't want to make sense. And so what started all that was this idea that we all got to get together so that we can conquer the earth and become like a kingdom on earth. But you know what happens is every one of those groups, when they start trying to build the kingdom on earth, they start killing people.
That's right.
And if you were to go to that meeting tomorrow night, when, with all these lovey-dovey people, you know, all talking about love and everything, I'm here to tell you, you don't have to believe me, but I'm here to tell you, at some point, they're going to get sick and tired of you. And they're going to start putting you in jail and killing you. They're already telling you, you can't run your business the way you want. And people making cakes, people hosting weddings. And in Michigan, Charlotte, Michigan, look it up, a fellow was kicked out of the local market, farmer's market, because they found out that he is against gay marriage. Selling blueberries, and they won't let him sell his blueberries because they found out he's against gay marriage. Listen, folks, that's because that's all they can do right now. As time goes on and they get more power, that's what I said. You people who are, and I'm talking mostly the internet, I don't know anybody here like this, but you people who are still complaining about Trump,
right.
Idiocy. If we had had Hillary, we'd already be several miles further down the road to you going to jail. Nobody's saying Trump is an evangelist or he's an evangelical. No one's saying we're just saying that God gave us a time out. We were going downhill like this, you know, like a, you know, that's the speed we were going. God now got us going, we're still going downhill, but we're not taking on G-forces. That's all Trump is. We're not going to fill the whole earth. Jesus is going to return and fill the whole earth. It's not the mission of the church to fill the whole earth with anything other than the gospel. We're not building a kingdom. Isn't it amazing? The Bible is like no other book. You have to say that over and over. If you've never read them, I have. Garbage compared to the Bible. Clarence Larkin said, prophecy is twofold, descriptive and predictive. Prophets were both foretellers and foretellers. They had both insight and foresight. Their prophetic utterances were not by deductions of reason, but were imparted to them by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Because what you've got is in the world of the occult, they will come to people and they'll talk to you and they'll pick around until they can find something. They'll say, oh, I'm seeing someone's died recently in your life. And, well, that's true about 99% of the people are alive. And it's a woman. Okay, you had a 50-50 shot there. See what I'm saying? They use those tactics. That's not how the Bible works. The Bible, thousands of years before the thing happened, gives you detail. It's nothing like that. I'm sorry, does somebody want a picture of that? I'll turn it up. Prophecy comes by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. Read 1 Peter 1:21. Read that. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's where the prophecy came from. Keep in mind that this is a fulfillment of messianic prophecy in Jesus being that stone. Proof of God. I'm telling you, if you find your faith faltering, if you find yourself just maybe having doubts, study prophecy. Start with messianic prophecy. Start with how Jesus, before we knew His name, was prophesied in the Old Testament. And 300 prophecies that He fulfilled to the T, didn't miss a one. There's no other book on the planet that even tries that. It's proof of God, it's proof of the Bible, and it's proof of Jesus. And there's so many people who say, oh, well, I don't need Bible prophecy. I can feel God. And I just feel Him. Like, what are you eating, jalapeno peppers? It's not a feeling. Now, don't get me wrong, there are times you'll feel something, but that's not what you base it on. If you're basing anything on feelings, you're on thin ice and you've got heated shoes on. That's feelings. What do you base it on? Faith. Where's faith come from?
Hearing.
And hearing by the Word of God. See? So if you base your faith on these prophecies, you're obeying God. You're basing your faith on the Word of God. And the final proof will be too late for Christ rejectors. The final proof. The icing on the cake is His return, and then it's too late. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. I'm not trying to be funny, but it is. It's funny in a sense. Because, you know, these guys are going to be rejecting Him right down to the end. The Bible says they'll be cursing God and unwilling to repent, even with sores all over their bodies and all the things going on. And they're going to be like, and all of a sudden they see Jesus and they're going to be like, I guess I was wrong about that. The end. Yeah, it's the end of this life and the beginning of eternity. Will Jesus be a sanctuary to you, or will He be a snare? See, if you study these prophecies and you get to know Jesus, and you, when I say fall in love with Jesus, I'm telling you, it's not turning on the radio and hearing a song and saying, oh, that makes me love Jesus. It's not like that. It is as I study the Word and I just become so amazed by Jesus. And I just find myself just loving Him for what He's given to us. He's given us so much information. He died on the cross to save us from hell. All these things. And you just, if you don't have that, then all you've got left is a snare. And I'm convinced that all you have to do is choose not to go to the Word of God. And suddenly you'll find all kinds of good reasons to reject Jesus. You're going to find sin. You're going to find books out there that will talk you out of your faith. Books that will destroy any thought of there being a God. Books promoting evolution. Then they'll pull you into the New Age. They'll pull you into the false ideas about spirit. All these things. It'll start when you stop seeking Jesus in the Word. That's when it starts. Isaiah 8:14 said, "And he shall be for a sanctuary, but..." So you got to make a choice. He can be your sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offense to both the house of Israel, which he has. It's only been a small remnant of the house of Israel saved in the last 2,000 years. "For a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem." And that's true today. You go to Israel today, you'll find very little faith. The estimates are something like 80% of Israeli Jews claim to be agnostic and atheist, and they're into the Kabbalah and all this New Age stuff. Jesus has become a snare. They just can't believe it because they won't believe the Word of God. Tel Aviv is like Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah. It's worse than San Francisco. Tells you anything. But they did finally have their quote-unquote gay pride march in Jerusalem. Right down the same roads Jesus and the apostles ministered and walked, you got Sodom. Isaiah also prophesied that believers have no reason to run in fear. And I believe this next verse I want to show you, we talked about in our study of Revelation 12, is literally fulfilled by the Jews in Petra, in the wilderness. But it's a general prophecy toward those who believe. It says, "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." What does that mean, make haste? I'm just kidding. Nothing to run from. Amen? You shall not make haste. And then when you come down to a literal fulfillment of that, the Jews are going to be in Petra in the wilderness when Jesus returns. He's going to destroy all their enemies. They're going to run, but not in fear. They're going to run to Jerusalem. And Jesus is going to be waiting for them standing on the Mount of Olives, where He has landed and split it in two. And that earthquake is going to blow a hole in the beautiful gate that has been blocked up by the Muslims to try to keep Messiah out of it. And that hole is going to blow out a cemetery that the Muslims put there because they know the Messiah is a priest, and that they believe by putting a cemetery there, He wouldn't walk through the cemetery, and just in case, they blocked it up. And Jesus is going to go... And the Jews are going to come back from Petra, and they're going to see that. And they're going to watch Jesus walk into Jerusalem through the Eastern Gate. The gate called Beautiful. So a couple closing thoughts. Jesus isn't a dead stone idol. He's a living stone. 1 Peter 2:4, "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." Amen? "Rejected by the world, but saved, we are made in His image to be living stones." 1 Peter 2:5 says, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Amen. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this study. We thank You for what You've taught us. We just thank You for Jesus. Lord, what He means to us. And Lord, we're just looking forward to, as we prayed, that the rapture could happen at any moment. We look forward to that. Every day could be the day. We just can't wait to see Jesus. Pray, Lord, that everyone took from this several things. You know each heart. You know where they are. You know what they need. Your Word is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And I believe that by just simply teaching it, You work in Your way by Your Spirit. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, we've got a few minutes for a Q&A. Stephen?
What's a gin?
It's another form of a snare, but that's a good question because how many of you know the Bible has a built-in dictionary?
I heard about that.
And there's times where when you see a word and you don't know what it means, and you just keep reading. And a gin is a snare. It's just a type of snare. And there's plenty of times where you see something, you're like, what is that? And then you keep reading, oh, that's what it is. It actually tells you in the text itself. Yeah, it's not talking about alcohol.
Okay, so, like, probably the last week and a half, I've been watching these YouTube videos. It's this guy who has this computer program that he can, like, smash worlds into each other. It's awesome. It's called Look the Math. It's just awesome. Anyway, so this guy...
Geek alert.
You've got, like, the Earth, and then he takes rocks or other planets or whatever, and he like, smashes them in into the Earth. And it's just the amazing... I couldn't help but think about...
That.
Stone.
Smashing, yeah.
And then just the Earth, like, turning into... Because the Earth doesn't go away. It kind of moves a little bit, but... Or slows down or speeds up whichever direction it's going. But it's really cool because it just kind of turns into a fireball and then goes back together. But... If it's the right side of the rock, just fire engulfs the Earth, everything's destroyed, but the actual planet itself is okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, or you could just kill everything. I mean, I just thought it was really cool because, you know, Jesus, pretty much, that's a picture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Johnny?
Didn't we talk about that another time on how That's how the Earth is going to be destroyed, but it's also going to abide forever because it'll it'll basically be the baptism by fire.
Yeah, a new heaven, a new earth, but it's just like your body, your bodies, if we're not raptured, your body gets buried and it turns to dust.
Yep.
But it then is resurrected, and the same thing's going to happen to the Earth. The elements will melt. And then from that, God gives us a new heaven, a new earth. That's why I used to think, you know, wow, it's going to be neat. We have all the time in the world to, you know, go to the Grand Canyon, you know, and that sort of thing. Well, I think it's going to be a new earth. I think it's going to be, some people still hold to that idea. I think it's going to be a new earth, as in just like our bodies are not going to have all the same issues that we have now. And really, a lot of the things we think are beautiful in the earth are actually issues. They were brought about by catastrophes and things. So who knows what the earth's going to look like when he's done with it.
I'll just add to that, though, it's probably not, that's going to be, though, after the millennial reign. So there will be 1,000 years where...
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. At the end of the tribulation, it's pretty descriptive in, like, Ezekiel and places, in Isaiah and other places where it's... You know, it's a purification, but it's not the same thing. You're right. But
during 1,000 years, we'll probably be bored with
something. That thing with the jinn, the first mention is Job 18:9. The jinn shall take him by the heel, and the robber shall prevail against him.
It's just a trap, a snare. Yeah.
It is. It's just, yeah. There's only three references.
And that's what Jenny did to my heart. She said, Jen. My little Jenny. She trapped me. Snared my heart. Okay, I'll stop.
When I saw a jinn, the first thing I thought about is a genie, because in other languages, a jinn is a genie. It's an illusion. It's not really there.
Mm-hmm.
Tricks you. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's along the same lines, a snare or a trap.
A genie is kind of like a Islamic thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or Middle Eastern.
Yeah. Middle Eastern, yeah. Arab.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Disney.
Yeah.
Charlie? You notice I only went 5 feet.
I can't even follow you.
Yeah. What was it? We were taking, somebody was videotaping, and for some reason it made me look like I was a streak. Like I was, like Superman. Yeah. Not naked. A streak. Not a streaker. Now, what is interesting is you, when you look at the from head to toe, the value and durability of the minerals that are mentioned here decrease. And there's this thing called specific gravity that's used to measure the value and durability of these different minerals. You have gold as 19.5, silver 10.5, bronze 8.5. So you can see it goes down to where iron and clay is 1.9. Imagery, it's just not colors. This is not saying, oh, I want a different color here and a different color there. He is showing that, we'll see this in more detail later, but Nebuchadnezzar was like a powerful autocrat. I mean, he was an emperor in the true sense of the word. He was the law. But then what comes afterward is the Medo-Persian Empire, where the emperor, the king, was actually subject to law. So he lost a little bit of the power and the durability. And then that, so he begins in verses 37, 38. He says, "Thou, O king, art a king of kings." Notice he's not the king of kings, but he is a king of kings. "Thou art this head of gold." He's establishing, as Babylon is that head of gold, he says, "And after thee shall rise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth." So he's telling Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon's days are numbered. He's giving this explanation of the gold being followed by another kingdom, and look, he uses the word inferior. So that's exactly this picture, using these minerals from gold to silver to bronze to iron and iron and clay. It's a degradation of each of these worldwide empires. And then verse 39 says, "And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. The kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, forasmuch as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay." Rome did divide, and yet all the pieces are still there. And that then is what you see in verses 42, where he says, "And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken." This is a historical reality. This is undeniable. That since Rome, which is represented by the iron, there has not been an empire on the scale of those represented by gold, silver, brass, and iron. The iron clay empire is yet future.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station, available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.